would turn with me to Acts chapter 16. John, you my man. You my man. John chapter 16. Okay, today I want to talk about one of the fundamentals that is going to be so important in the days ahead. Now, many of you have things that you're aspiring to, dreaming of, and things that you're coming out of. And the key to your victory is going to be this one fundamental. It's so easy, but it's also easy to overlook. In Acts chapter 16, are you there? Would you stand with us? We're going to read starting at verse 22. Acts chapter 16, starting at verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them. Now, this is Paul and Silas, and they're in Macedonia. And I'll tell you the rest of it in a minute. The multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates rent off or tore off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Father, we thank you for this key to victory. We pray that you'll unlock prison doors in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, and in our relationships, starting today, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Now, our mantra this year has been, I'm doing better. I'm doing better. In other words, that's our theme. So you hear us come back again and again throughout the year. I'm doing better. Now, I like that one because we could have said something like, I feel better, or I'm better. I like it because, first of all, I'm is like a contraction of I am. It's personal. It means I'm taking responsibility for how I'm doing. I'm not waiting to see how I feel. I'm not waiting to see what you say. I'm doing better. My choice, my responsibility, my action. And that word doing is action. Everybody say action. So I like that because all throughout the year, as we're talking about growing spiritually is not something that just happens to us. It's not like fungus. Spiritual growth is not like a fungus growing on you. It's something that we have to take action to cause to happen. I'm doing better. And so all year we've been looking at different things that the Bible says that we need to do in order to grow. Now, this morning, we're going to talk about this one key, and I know everybody knows this, but that's the danger of this. The danger is because we all know this, we may actually think that we're doing this just because we all know that we're supposed to do this. And that is, of course, praise. Praise is a key that God wants us to use to unlock a lot of prisons in our lives. Now, let me go back to this story here of Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were in prison because one day on their way to pray, there was a woman that was following them. And this woman was possessed by a demon. And this demon was following Paul and Silas. And whenever this demon would come close, this demon would say, "These men are showing us the way to God." And you would think that, well, maybe that's God, because he's pointing out the men of God and saying, "These men are showing us the way to God." If you didn't have discernment, you might believe that just because it said God, it was God. But you have to understand that Paul and Silas were living in a culture that was anti-God. God was actually invading the culture to set people free from the devil. And that's what you got to have to understand. We are in the same kind of situation. The culture is not a godly culture that we live in. And in fact, what God is doing, God is invading the culture to rescue people. He came and got me. He came and got many of you. It is through his intervention and his love, he invades the culture to rescue people. In fact, that's why Paul and Silas were there. They may not have known it right then. Paul had in a vision, in the night, Paul had a vision where a man said in the vision, "Come over here to Macedonia and help us." Well, he didn't know who he was going to help, but when he got there, there was this woman who was possessed by the devil. Now, this is an interesting story, because when Paul finally turned and told that devil to leave that woman alone, the devil left the woman. And that's how Paul and Silas ended up in jail. Because there were some people that owned this woman, and they were making money off of this woman, because as long as she was oppressed by the devil, she could tell fortunes. But once Paul cast the devil out, she couldn't tell fortunes no more. And that's when they got mad and threw Paul and Silas into prison. And that's why they were where we just read. Now listen. Listen to me very closely. There are people who don't want you to get free. There are people, listen, if you smoke, there are people that don't want you to get free because they're making money on you. If you drink, there are people that don't want you to get free because they're making money on you. If you look at pornography, there are people that don't want you to get free because they're selling you, they're making money, they're sending their kids to college on your what you buy, what you read, what you smoke, what you drink. There are people that make money off of divorce, and they don't want you to stay happily married. Because in an ungodly culture, real freedom, is not a premium. The ungodly don't want you to be free. The devil doesn't want you to be free. He wants you to be bound so he can continue to make profit off of you. But God invades an ungodly culture to set people free so that you can have a happy relationship. You can finally have a happy relationship. Yes, this may be your seventh, but this is the one for you. You may be bound with some kind of habit, but you can get free from smoking, free from gambling. In Kentucky? Yes, you can get free from gambling in Kentucky. Because God is invading an ungodly culture to set people free. Paul and Silas, they were in prison because this woman got free. And there are going to be people that are going to oppose you if you try to tell people about the Bible. There are going to be people that they're going to be mad at you if you try to talk about the Bible on your job, if you try to talk about the Bible in your school, if you try to talk about the Bible in your neighborhood. Here's what Jesus said. He said, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You're going to have people that don't want you to tell others the truth. Paul and Silas were in prison. And the Bible says at midnight, this is after they had been put in the shackles, this is after they had been beaten, it says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and then it says, and they sang praises unto God. Now that's an unlikely place and an unlikely time to be praising God. But here's what I believe the Lord is showing me to share with you today, that we are all in some kind of situation or circumstance, and to other people it may look like it's the unlikely time, the unlikely place, the unlikely circumstance to be praising God. Other people may look at us and say, well, when you get out of that, that's then, yeah, praise God. When you get over that, that's the time to praise God. When you get through that, that's the time to praise God. But here's what I believe God is speaking to us. In order for us to get over, to get out, or to get through, we've got to praise God while we're in it. We've got to learn how to praise God right where we are, sing and praise God right in the midst of it. Now, there's a spirit of depression. There's a spirit of confusion. There are spirits that are taking over people, even spirits of suicide, because people have not got this fundamental principle in their life. Now, if you've been attacked, if you're being attacked by a spirit of suicide, even right now while you're watching this program, I want to encourage you to go someplace. Go to a mental health hospital. Go to a hospital. Go, go, go. See, here's something you got to understand. You cannot play with the devil's tools. Now, here's what's happening. Listen, this is not everybody, but this is somebody. People have a habit sometimes of using tools in relationships that don't come from God. For instance, you could get in the habit of pouting. Y'all know what I mean when I say pouting? You know what I'm saying? You know, when you get mad, you try to get your way. You know, we learned that when we're kids, the way we get our way, we pout. Okay, so we use that, and when you become an adult, you keep that same habit. And when something doesn't go your way in a relationship, what's wrong? And they got to ask you, what's wrong? 100 times, what's wrong? Okay. Now listen, when you get in the habit, listen, that's not God's tool. You are using the devil's tool, and here's what's going to happen. The devil's going to begin to use you. You keep on using the devil's tool, and pretty soon you become depressed because now you can't, you know, my mama used to... My mom used to say, you know, I roll my eyes. I didn't know what I was doing at first, but I roll my eyes. And your mama say, your eyes are going to get stuck up there one day. Well, listen. When you start doing the devil's, using the devil's tools, you get stuck in a mode. You start going... You're pouting. I'm going to be depressed so somebody will care about me. I'm going to be depressed so somebody will come pay attention to me. I'm going to be depressed. I'm going to just be depressed so I can get some attention. You keep playing like that, and pretty soon you're going to get stuck. And that's how you get depressed, because you've been playing with depression. When bad things happen, we cannot go into a slump just because circumstances are bad. This is not a time to let our the guard down on our minds. This is not a time to let the guard down on our emotions. Because the moment you let your guard down, there's somebody trying to get in. There are spirits of confusion, spirits of depression, spirits of self-hatred that are just waiting. They just love for you to go into your self-pity moment. Because that's how they get in your life. So here's what we got to do. We look at Paul and Silas. We see them, they've been beaten. They're in prison. But you don't hear them complaining. You don't hear them going, well, Paul, I don't know how we got here. I thought God was with us. I tell you what, if I ever get out of here, you ain't never gonna hear me talking about nothing about that gospel no more. You don't hear them complaining, whining. Why? Because, listen, they've learned to guard their emotions. They've learned that when you get in a hard spot, you don't open the door. You don't open the hatches. You don't open the windows in the middle of the storm. That's the time that you shut the hatches. That's the time you shut the doors. That's the time you don't let the devil come in. So you don't go, so you don't see them getting you don't see self-pity coming on their lives. You don't see them going into depression. You know what you see them doing? The one thing that will keep your mind regulated in a hard time, they start praising God. They start praising God. Right in the after they've been beaten, after they've been in prison, after they've been misunderstood, they keep praising God. Now, a lot of us, we all know that. You know, we've all heard that scripture. We all know, you know, if you've been in church at any length of time, you know, as soon as he read that, I know you're going to talk about praise today. The question is, are you praising or are you worrying? When you have a hard time, when things are going wrong, when you can't figure everything out, are you praising or are you worrying? I know you know you're supposed to. I know we know the Bible says praise the Lord. Go with me to Psalm 150. Go to Psalm 150. 150th Psalm. Some say, well, I know it's 150th Psalm. Yeah, that says praise ye the Lord. You right? You are exactly right. Psalm 150 verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise God in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. And then it says in verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then it concludes, praise ye the Lord. So when you stumble, when you fall, when you fail, or when you're worried, he says, praise ye the Lord. Now, I want to give you four good reasons to praise the Lord. This is going to help you when you're under some kind of attack of depression or confusion, something that's attacking your mind. Let's go to the slides. These four things, four reasons to praise God. Number one, next slide. Praise God because God loves you and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11, here's what God says. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Let me read it for you in the King James. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, let me read it for you in one of the other translations. In the New King James, it says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you, watch this, a future and a hope. See, a lot of what people are struggling with today is they're confused about the future. They don't know what's going to happen. They're afraid about tomorrow. But listen, can I help you? You can embrace your future. You do not have to be afraid of your future. When you give your life to God, you know what? God is a good, good God. And he has a good plan for your future. And regardless of what the culture wants to do to you, or what people want to do to you, or what others want to, or how the devil wants to use you and abuse you, when you give your life to God, God will take care of you. He's got a good plan. Somebody say a good plan. God's got a good plan for your future, when you give your life to him. Now, if you're still trying to run your life yourself, guess what? The devil's going to eat you up. But when you give your life to God, the devil is not big enough to touch you. Four reasons to praise God. Next, number two. Because God is able to do exceedingly above all that you can ask or think. Now, a lot of times, as Christians, we can get depressed because we think everything depends on us. We got to pray right. We got to read enough Bibles, scriptures. It's all about how we do, what we ask, how we think. But listen, this is such a great promise. God is able to do above, exceedingly above what you're able to ask or think. So you know what? That means we can cast our cares on him because he's bigger than we are. We can praise him right after we've done everything we know to do and things still don't look like they're working out. While we're waiting for our miracle, while we're waiting for our healing, instead of going, Lord, when's it going to come? Lord, when's it going to happen? Oh, I guess I haven't prayed enough. No, instead of going through all of those changes, letting the devil take you through those mental hoops, right there in the midst of it, begin to praise God. Lord, I thank you that you're my healer. You're the one who's taking good care of me. You're able to do beyond what I can ask or think. So I'm just going to rest. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, hallelujah. That's the highest form of praise. It's distinctive of praising the God of the Bible. Hallelujah. Yah is the Old Testament name for God. Hallel means high praises. It's a distinctive word for just praising God. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, no matter what's going on, you can say hallelujah. You can just start to praise God and give him glory. Even when you don't know how it's going to come out, even though you don't know how you're going to get there, you know you're going to get there because God is able. Next slide. Four reasons. Number three, God is with you and he's everything that you need. Now, let me read this for you in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Why you can praise God right in the middle of your situation. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness. In other words, don't be lusting after what other people have. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that you may boldly say, or we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So notice he says, God says, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. So you don't have to worry about what somebody else has. You can celebrate somebody else's blessing. You don't have to be greedy about what they got, trying to get what they got. Listen, you can celebrate what they have when you know that God is with you. When you know that everything that you want, everything you need, you can get from God. God will not leave you, and he is everything that you need. But listen, you're going to have to get that in your mind. You're going to have to get that in your heart. Until that becomes real to you, you'll still be a worrier. You'll still be a worrier. That's why it's so important to grow spiritually. It's so important to get, listen, you have to read the Bible. You have to. I know I'm reading it to you, but you have to go home and every day read the Bible. That's the only way you're going to get God's thoughts into your head. That's the only way that you're going to overcome depression and confusion. You've got to read the Bible every day and get God's thoughts. Got mighty quiet right then. Okay. Fourth reason, number four. You can praise God in everything because God is going to finish what he started in your life. Now, one source of depression is the idea, it's like a spirit of regret that has come over people's lives. That God, I started out with God. God started out with me. When I was a child, God was with me. But things happened to me over my life, and now I just haven't reached my potential. And there's a lot of regret in our country because people feel like they can't get to what they started out to become. That something has happened to them. But listen, God will finish what he started in your life. Philippians chapter 1. Go there. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 6. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's Philippians 1:6. Now you say, well, Pastor, you said read every day. What should I read? If you just read that, if you just read the scriptures that we've talked about today, if you read those to yourself at least once a day, just pick one. Read it out loud to yourself. It's going to start working on your mind. And you're going to start being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I'm not saying that you won't get attacked. I'm not saying that there won't be demonic forces still trying to bring you into bondage. The devil's going to always try to bring you into bondage. The devil's going to always try to make you depressed. The devil's going to always try to make you afraid of your future. The devil's going to always try to make you bound in some kind of habit. He's always trying to destroy people because people are his worst nightmare. If he can kill you quickly, that's better for him. But God is going to give you the tools so that no matter what the attack is, no matter what the storm is, you will be strong enough to keep the devil out of your head. Keep the devil out of your thoughts. Keep the devil out of your relationships. But you got to do it. You got to pick your Bible up. You got to raise your hands and praise God. You got to say hallelujah. Right in the middle. Everybody can do it in church. I know everybody can do it in church. I'm talking about tomorrow. When people start acting crazy, that's when you got to go, hallelujah. Let me give you one more thing and then we're going to let you go. If you're going to have a sane mind, if you're going to keep a sane mind in the days to come, you're going to have to listen to godly music. You're not going to be able to keep the devil out of your head if you listen to ungodly, worldly music. Come on, everybody, you can understand that, can't you? I mean, I'm trying to keep something out of my head, but I'm putting it in my head, and then I'm saying I'm going to keep it out of my head, but I put it in my head. See, if you want victory, you're going to have to sing about victory. If you want success, you're going to have to sing about success. You can't, listen, if you want faith, you're going to have to sing about faith. If you want to trust God, you're going to have to sing about God. But if you sing about, listen, if you listen to all the music about how bad things are, how bad people are, how bad life is, guess what's going to be in your head? Praise is so, so important. Let's bow our hearts together.